Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, segment number two. Coming up here with Dr. Marvin Wade, Superintendent of Schools at USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden, and Board Member Carla Hagemeister. And again, school board meets tonight at 6:30 at the Robinson Education Center. Real easy to check those meetings out. I know that those are open to the public, and you can also stream those online as well, the Facebook page or YouTube channel. We've got really not a sexy is the right word, but it's not a real sexy agenda here tonight. Just a lot of business stuff going on tonight, right, Dr. Wade?
That's a good way to put it, Brandon. It's important business, but it's not glamorous by any means. we've got one of the items is there's some playground equipment that's going to be replaced at Amanda Arnold this summer. So the district has some artificial playground turf and some pieces of playground equipment from Amanda Arnold that's about over 20 years old that we're going to ask the board for us to be able to auction that off through Purple Wave. That's kind of standard procedure for us when we have something we're discarding. So that's on the agenda. There's a Head Start report, supplemental funding. There's a lot of paperwork for Head Start that goes to the board on a regular basis. And the what's going to the board tonight would be there's a cost of living adjustment that we can get funding for through federal Head Start, and that's on the agenda for board approval. Some additional, I think it's $41,500 in additional funding for Head Start to support efforts they've made with COVID. And then there's an assurance that with Head Start, early Head Start, that we provide, I think it's 1,020 hours of instruction to students during the year. And there's that assurance that we do that. So that's kind of there's always Head Start and early Head Start reports going to the board. So that's pretty routine. We do have a special education gifted education program report that a lot of good information there about the programs we've got within the district that continue to grow, really, that we've got. It includes numbers, and people can see this on the website if they look at our report for this board meeting, but shows the number of students that are identified as students with disabilities on an IEP, students in the gifted education program, how many staff we have in the area of special education. For example, we've got, I think it's, you know, I'm going to have to look at this one. 142 certified licensed staff in the area of special education and 278 paraeducator classified positions in the district. So a lot of employees in the area of special education. So that's one of our reports on the special education.
Dr. Wade, I want to hop in there.
Please.
I saw on social media this morning, and so you said that we have 200 and some special education paraprofessionals. I believe that today is Paraprofessional Appreciation Day. So I certainly want to make sure that we take time to recognize those paras, but also the paras across the district in all areas of service that really we couldn't do this work without them, that they really contribute greatly to the success of our students and the support of our teachers and kids.
Boy, that's a truth. Thanks for bringing that up. I'd miss that.
Thank goodness for Facebook sometimes.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes.
Brandon, would you like me to report on maybe one or two other items?
Yeah, well, maybe we could go to construction because I know there's quite a few different things there.
Yeah, again, this kind of fits that category you said before, that it's not like all of a sudden somebody will drive by and see that there's new walls outside that are easy to spot. There's things like Eugene Field. They're doing some cutout work in the floors on the inside for plumbing, some demolition occurring. And well, those people will see lumber being delivered later this week. They're going to start working on the interior changes at that site. Oliver Brown, the brick masons have completed the work that they're doing. Electricians are putting in lights. Painters are continuing to paint. Oh, you had asked earlier when we were off air about the driveways, that the curbing has been started on the east drive in the parking lot on Monday. And then I think today they're supposed to start pouring the driveway. So moving forward on the area around Oliver Brown. Bergman, they're continuing to do. I know they put in heat pumps for the storm shelter, working on some of the, there's a south pod there to a place where just about ready to do a punch list on it. The middle schools continue to work on things like dropping ceiling tiles. I think carpet is in all the rooms that are supposed to have carpet. I'm not sure if that's in all the areas, but I know it's in area E, one of the sections of it. So, you know, just continuing a lot of different items on both of the middle schools. High school, the building pads ready on that, on the east side, seeing a lot of work going on there. They're putting ductwork in the mezzanine area of the new gym. And warehouse, people are working away at the warehouse. We're hoping to get a temporary certificate of occupancy here from the city in the near future. And I think that's it for the projects going on right now. We've also got Marlatt and the central kitchen, but nothing's occurring at those sites right now.
And forgive me if I'm wrong, the Marlatt and central kitchen jobs, is that like the final parts of the bond projects?
They're going to overlap. They're part of the final part, but there's still going to be going back. There's work at Bergman. There's work at Lee. There's still some things, summer projects, and work continuing through next year. So there's a lot of overlap between the different sites.
Okay. Yeah.
There's still work for Woodrow Wilson. We haven't started with that yet.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
There's more to come.
Yeah. Carlo mentioned earlier about our website. There's a lot of information on the website about all kinds of topics, but one of them would be the construction reports. People can go there and see the PowerPoint presentations that are made at the board meetings. They can see the updated timelines for the project, the scope sequence of the projects. So that information is updated regularly. So please look at the website if you have any questions, if anybody has questions about the projects.
All right. We were talking off air, Carla, about a unique thing going on with Eugene Field. Can you tell us more about that?
Definitely. One of the things that I was really excited to see in our board packet this week was the addition and the purchase now of the library materials for a library at Eugene Field Learning Center. So in years past, the just space limitations at Eugene Field did not permit them to have a dedicated library. I think if you went into classrooms, obviously there were books, and I remember a little reading nook in a hallway, but it didn't have space for what any of us would consider to be a library. So our board report tonight has a long list of books that are being purchased to fill a library at Eugene Field Learning Center. And then I believe probably also some additional books for at College Hill. And if you've been able to see inside of College Hill, they've got a really nice little library for their students with a little reading area where an adult can sit up on the top of the tier and students can sit underneath so they can see, and just a nice space for that early learning development, early reading development. So it was really great to look through that list of books and see titles that I knew and remembered, and then see ones that are new to me, but I'm excited for our students to have that opportunity. They also included within that library purchase a nice group of selections in Spanish, which was, I think, a neat addition as well for our families who have Spanish as a first language, but then also just for students to be exposed to that. So I really had a good time looking through that list of titles, and I'm excited for our students at Eugene Field to have that opportunity.
Very cool. That's good to hear. And Dr. Wade, I know you'll be taking part in this Adult Learning and Regional Testing Center report here tonight with Chris Boxberger. And how has that program gone over the last couple? It's been 3 or 4 years, something like that?
It's been 3 years, and it's really going well. It'd been 3 years ago that our board approved the Adult Learning Center and the Regional Testing Center moving from under the umbrella of USD 383 to Manhattan Area Technical College, that those adult ed programs are under, their oversight is from the Kansas State Board of Regents, not the Kansas State Board of Education. And MATC is under the Board of Regents, and they have a lot of programs, a lot of services available for older students, for adults, and it just seemed like a good fit. And really has gone well. That the report tonight's, it's an annual report. We want to keep the board apprised of how things are going. And you know, we'll talk about the student benefits, that enrollment has gone up in the time that the program's been at MATC. We've got more students getting their Kansas high school diploma completions. The percentage, the number of students there has gone up. We've got more students that are coming out of the program now doing what we talk about, post-secondary success is important. What happens with students after they leave USD 383? Well, they're seeing more of those students entering employment right away or going on for more higher education. English is a second language. More students are going to the program now. Same thing with adult basic ed. Just all of the metrics that we look at for the program have gone up as the result of us making that move. And we attribute a lot of that to our great partners at MATC, that these students get out there in that site and they see that there are other opportunities for them besides adult education, and they're encouraged to take part in those other programs, other certifications, and the associate's degree, things like that at MATC, and it's really paying off. So I'm looking forward to this report tonight and sharing with the board some of the successes we've seen, including that regional testing center. It's really taken off as far as the number of assessments that are available that help students be able to demonstrate they've got the skills for jobs that they're trying to get.
All right.
And it's not an action. There's no action item tonight. It's an informational report for the board.
All right. And that's one of just a couple of reports. Of course, you got the capital outlay summer projects as well. And Matt Davis is going to update us on that.
Yeah, Matt, he always does a great job with having multi-year plans in place and breaking it down year by year of what's going to be done and what it costs, and making sure that we're continuing to not only expand facilities, but keep the facilities that we have in good shape.
All right, very good. Well, look forward to the meeting here tonight, and that'll be at 6:30 p.m. at the Robinson Education Center. Anything else before we go? Dr. Wade, do you have anything else?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. As you said earlier, anybody is welcome to attend the meeting or to join us remotely, and appreciate the opportunity today to talk about the meeting.
All right. Carla, anything else from you?
No, I think just, again, to offer our thanks to the community for what they've done to keep our students and staff safe, and the work that we've put into this year is the whole community. It's taken everybody. So any success that we have this year, we certainly have our staff and students and families to thank, but also the Manhattan community as a whole. So we really appreciate that and look forward to finishing this school year out strong. That 5.5 weeks left.
Well, sounds good. Well, guys, appreciate it. And we'll talk again down the road.
Great. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus after this. News Radio KMAN.